You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
You look a little parched there, Carmen.
You calling me out?
Maybe. Frantically taking a sip before recording.
Having a...
Well, Gordy didn't, like, check in with us.
There was no countdown.
He found it just went. It's 1M. Gordy is like, all right, we're going. I had my mouth full of this good... cheap ass cinnamon roll.
I wouldn't be a crime weaver if I didn't call you out, but I am that, and I'm Tyler.
I'm Gordy, the dimensional lexicographer. Thank you, Vanzetti Books on Twitter.
So what do we do on this show?
Carmen has a weird fairy tale or a piece of folklore. She's going to read it to me and Tyler. Tyler and I have never heard it before. We hope some of you have also never heard it before. We're gonna take this apart as we go. We're gonna pick apart some plot holes, take an old, possibly poorly told fairy tale.
Possibly,
with a loose story structure. Just tighten it up.
Fix it up for all you modern listeners.
Just tighten it up. Make it past the Hollywood test.
We're gonna take the old monkey wrench to it. And I chose monkey wrench because it has monkey in it to imply silly antics.
Thank you for that breakdown of your comedy strategy, Tyler.
This is a non-optional service where jokes are explained to you as they are performed.
It is the newest in Tyler's tool belt of crime.
I feel like it's a necessary service because I feel like a lot of people don't understand what is and is not funny anymore.
You don't want them to miss the subtleties of your clever repartees.
Like, comedy is obviously objective, but...
Objective?
Yeah, it's obviously objective.
Uh-huh.
It is. But...
Just making sure that was the word that you were going for in that moment.
It was not the intended word, but I'm sticking to it now.
You're going to stick to your guns.
Some things are just objectively funny or not funny. Jeff Daniels? That guy's funny. He's just funny.
Jeff Dunham? That's the puppet guy, right?
I got
the name right? Yeah, not funny.
Not objectively funny. Not funny. Jeff Dunham, unfortunately, just not funny.
Sorry to break it to you all. That man, one-trick pony... And that pony is old and dead.
And kind of racist.
And a little bit racist. And by a little bit, we mean...
Mostly.
An entire empire built on it.
Fairly racist.
Like, out of, like, 6 puppets, 4 of them are racist.
Yes.
Anyway, back to our show.
Sure.
An analysis of all culture, modern and past.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we have an executive producer this week, Tyler.
We do. This week's episode is brought to you by Dave, a.k.a. Dave Colchi on the Discord, who has been given the Arne Thompson type, 1540, the man from paradise.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
We've seen the pictures. It does look like paradise.
Does look pretty good.
Now it's official.
Officially paradise?
Yeah, we put the stamp on it. And by we, I mean me and you guys are along. The ride.
I double-checked it in the book for you.
You did. You did sign off on it.
Is that where they're going to do...
I notarized it.
Do they have to do Bachelor in Paradise there now?
I wish they wouldn't.
They wish they wouldn't do it in Ireland or at all?
Or just sully the landscape at all with that?
with like 10 to 20 people just getting gross on a beach? It is a crock pot of weird human drama.
So today we're not going to Ireland. We are going to another island, Japan.
It's a good segue. From one island to another.
So today we're going to be reading Momotaro the Peach Boy. This is a Japanese... What?
I don't know. It sounds funny. Momotaro the Peach Boy.
Yeah, this is a very Georgia-friendly tale.
Is that what people yell at him? Is it like a bad nickname?
Only if they are throwing peach pits at him at the same time.
I feel like Peach Boy, is that an insult?
Is this an opportunity to expand the pantheon of fruit-based gentlemen?
I mean, you have a fruit-based gentleman as a titular character.
I mean, there's one that we have, right?
Yeah.
Which is Cherry Man.
Is corn fruit?
Why not?
Is nuts fruit? I forget all the ones from last time.
Here's the thing. It doesn't matter to the end user, does it?
It doesn't.
At all. It goes in the same hole regardless.
And Cherry Man's all about the hole.
I don't know if we're going to get another Cherry Man story out of this. I don't want to force it.
I
don't want to force it. I'm just saying. Like,
yeah. I think your Cherry Watch might be a little off.
It could be Cherry Man's boyhood.
Mm. Well, this is a tale sourced from Asian Pacific Folk Tales and Legends, edited by Jeanette Farrow, and suggested by Tally M. Thank you, Tally.
Thank you, Tally.
Thank you, Tally.
All right. So, we got a couple watches to do. You two have predictions to make.
Yeah.
Do your jobs.
Japan. They love boats.
I mean, Japan is prime boat territory. This is boat watch.
Well, actually, they hated boats for a really long time.
They hated boats?
Yeah. They were not fond of boats showing up.
I think they were
at their border.
Right. I think they did not enjoy other people bringing boats to them. Yeah. I think they liked having
utilizing boats.
I think Japan being an island, I think there's going to be a boat. Japan is pretty likely for boat.
Okay.
If you're a new listener, this is literally just a part where I think guess whether there's going to be a boat in the story or not. You're not missing anything.
And not a lot of nuance to it.
It is as it sounds.
Kind of a binary state.
Do you have a prediction?
I don't know. Do I?
Are you going to?
Sometimes you predict whether or not Big Rock can solve the problem, but always it's yes, and usually it's just by crushing it.
Let's circle around to Big Rock at the end, I think.
Yeah, Big Rock is at the end, and my goal now for Big Rock is to come up with new and interesting avenues for its use, and not the same one over and over. That's the challenge.
I did like before how we each guessed if there would be a crime and what kind.
I mean, yeah, you can do that. This is a short story. I'm just wasting airtime.
It's about a peach boy?
Yeah. What kind of crimes or misdemeanors do you think will get brought up in this story?
Food poisoning.
Yeah, it's...
Is that a crime?
Yeah, if you do it intentionally.
Ah, so just poisoning.
To food.
Poisoning. I'm gonna say defamation.
All right. Here we go. Momotaro the Peach Boy. Since the beginning of time, everyone in Japan has loved children. Everyone.
I would say that their current kind of population trends would say the opposite.
Yeah, I feel like there's been articles to the opposite.
Like proving...
Especially recently.
Showing, like, very definitively that there are many people in Japan who don't like children.
Like, if you said that for a long stretch they did, I'd believe you. But that does not maintain to present day.
Maybe since the beginning of time to the telling of this story, which is in past.
Yes. Myth times.
Yeah. In all of myth times, everyone in Japan has loved children. You can say anything the fuck you want about myth times because they're shit ravens and you don't know what's going on. But no one loved children more than the old woodcutter and his wife who lived on the edge of a forest.
They already have one. She came from the moon.
This is a different one. Different woodcutter, different wife.
Different kid.
I mean,
how possible is that?
The thing is, it's not that big an island. How many woodcutters are there in Japan?
I mean, there are a couple islands.
There's a lot of islands.
Yeah.
How many of them have wood? Like,
there's four big ones.
Yeah, like you need one per island.
One of them is wood island.
And then like maybe one for all
the
little
bits. The other has wheat.
Yeah.
The other has sheep, and one of them is brick.
Yep.
Is this Catan?
The islands of Catan. Japan. Islands of Japan. The trading game.
Can we trade wheat for corn?
Can we trade wheat for corn? To who?
No, can we do the corn edition?
Just prefer corn.
I prefer corn because I got it wrong last week and I'm sticking to my guns.
Okay.
I would like to design and then play Settlers of Cherry Man, where you have rice and corn and cherries and some other stuff and they're just kind of transmutable.
And pistols.
Just transmutable substances.
It's kind of a cool hybrid of Settlers of Catan and Pandemic.
And Pandemic, where like these things do actively spread and they can be bad for you.
I would kind of like to see how those game mechanics would work together.
These purple blocks stand for Cherry Man Taint.
Like, oops, you can't build a city there anymore. Like, it's very, very sorry. It has been overrun.
As years went by and no child came to them, they grew sadder and sadder, as all woodcutters and their wives with no children are wont to do. But they tried to do their business cheerfully and continued to pray and make sacrifices and hopefully also, like, do the deed so they actually get somewhere. But as we've learned from these stories, it's never clear whether they understand
the
mechanics of childbirth.
That's the last thing on anybody's mind.
Right. How can we do it when we're sad about not having kids?
We need to try every magic avenue first.
So one day the woodcutter went to the forest to do his woodcutting, and the wife went to do some washing by the stream. And as she knelt over the water, she saw the most beautiful and largest golden peach she had ever seen in her whole entire life floating in the stream.
Leave it. It's poison. It's a trick. It's a golden peach?
Mm-hmm. I mean, most peaches are a little golden color.
But is this for real gold?
No, I think it's just golden
color. It's a figure of speech.
Yeah. Otherwise, it'd be a gold peach.
This is not from a bony orchard.
No.
Would you just leave it?
Yeah.
If you saw, like, just the most righteous looking peach floating down the river, you just let it go by?
It might have, like, a boy in it, depending on how big it is.
If I live in folklore fairy tale times, I don't touch fucking anything for any reason. I just don't think it's worth it. Like, you see a peach floating down the river? No. God, no. Leave it.
You just kind of live a bubble boy existence.
But you can't. You just don't know what it is. Like, there's no telling.
It's probably alive, and it probably hates you.
You only eat bread and cheese, but you do it in a very cheerful and not deprived manner so that no one comes by and tries to change your life for you.
The thing is, like, for every one person who fishes a peach out of a river or borrows a handful of rice from a guy and... what, kill some thieves or whatever happened last week, like, there are 1,000 more who just die trying to do it. We're hearing about the survivors because the other stories aren't interesting, but your odds are bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, she grabs it and she carries it joyfully home, and she's very excited to show it to her husband when he got home.
It has a boy in it.
The old man hardly dared to even cut it open because it was so beautiful.
And because it contains a boy.
Also, peaches kind of look like a butt.
They do look like butts.
Got them.
That's just true.
Take that, Peach City.
That's just true and pretty good. Does that make Georgia just kind of butt town?
It does. I didn't want to tell you.
I mean, supported by other factors as well.
Like what? Tobacco?
No, just like general buttery.
Oh, I thought you meant like other crops.
No, it's just an ass. It was kind of raining today a little bit when I was out driving, so no one knew how to drive, so I'm not happy with Georgia now. All right, so just as the old man touched his knife to the skin of the peach burst open by itself, and inside was a beautiful laughing baby boy with skin as warm, golden, soft, and blushing as the peach was.
I told you.
Touch nothing.
Now you're a parent. Now you have responsibilities. They wanted this, but if, like, you don't touch a peach.
You can't put it back in the river, I don't think. Like, once you open up a peach and there's a boy in there, I think it is yours. And you can't, like,
yeah,
in good
legally.
Conscience, put it back where you found it. Even if you don't want to raise a peach boy.
You can maybe adopt it out to someone who does, like, go find a woodcutter. If you're not a woodcutter or his wife and you've just, like, wandered in the forest because you needed a little bit of peace and quiet, and you're like, ah, a sweet, succulent peach. That is just what I need. And then instead of peace and quiet, you now have a responsibility. Yeah, just go find a woodcutter.
Also, very quickly, just some corroborating evidence for Georgia being butt town.
Yeah.
Atlanta's mayor is named Bottoms. Currently.
Yes, she is. Well, Lance Bottoms.
Lance Bottoms.
Yeah.
Just saying. That's butt evidence.
Which is not a slight against her as a mayor.
Just, no.
Nah, just...
I mean, you just need to have some sort of butt allegiance.
It helps in order
to govern here.
It really, if you're running for office in Georgia, it really helps if you're from one of the butt families.
Right.
We do have Butts County, I think.
Your Bottoms, your Butts, your Buttes, your bum bong butthole... If your last name is Butthole, you're in pretty good shape, probably.
You know, a lot of people will just vote for you because they find it funny.
I might vote for a butthole candidate. Just, I mean, I take voting pretty seriously,
but I have
my limits.
That's the Bodie McBoat face of political candidates. So they step back in surprise, as you would, and once the initial shock is over, they're happy that the gods answered their prayers, albeit in this very unconventional fashion, probably because they were neglecting their part of the deal. And they decide to call him Momotaro, the son of the peach.
The good thing about these magic boys is they kind of grow up pretty quick.
And
usually,
easy.
like you get a good couple weeks and then they're ready to go.
Hey, you skip the shitty parts.
Yeah, it came out laughing, not screaming like most babies. Not screaming and pooping on themselves three times. I recently witnessed a birth. Do not recommend.
A three poop birth?
Yeah, she was a prolific pooper.
The baby?
Yes. They took loving care of Momotaro, and every day they were more richly rewarded because he grew more handsome, more wise, sweeter, and stronger. Like you want your kid to do.
So pretty standard kid stuff.
One day, Momotaro knelt before them and said, "Grandfather and grandmother," which, I mean, seems kind of rude. They've been your actual parents. Just because they're old doesn't mean that you, like, skip a generation in your connection to them.
It's better than just using their first names.
Yeah,
like some kind of punk kid.
Bob and Linda.
Yeah, okay, oof. All right, there's casting, I guess.
Two animated characters.
I mean, now it's there and I can't get rid of it.
"Grandfather and grandmother, you have been kind and good to me, and I love you more than anything. But now I'm a man.
And it's time for you to die."
"So I gotta go for a bit and prove myself out in the world and help other people, as men do." So the old woman is very fearful for him and asks, like, "Where are you gonna go, buddy? What's your plan?
Are you going to use a boat?" Asking for a friend.
Does the peach count? The peach was his boat.
It was,
he was
some
inside,
means of conveyance.
He was inside the peach and the peach was his boat.
Man, you will stretch so far
if
for
there's
that.
Not a real boat, I'm taking that.
It wasn't a giant peach.
Yeah.
It did have a boy in it.
Which is an airship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They use it as a boat, don't they?
They use it as both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an all-terrain vehicle.
Yeah, it's a tank. It's got fucking nuclear capabilities. It's a Metal Gear.
You just short-circuited Gordy.
James and the Giant Metal Gear.
Wow, Metal Gear.
I heard his Metal Gear just grinding on them each other.
James and the Giant Metal Gear Peach. That's pretty good if you could rewrite that as like, yeah, okay. Hideo Kojima.
Take the same movie, like the same live action / animated film.
Yes.
And instead of a peach, just call it Shagohod.
And it has nukes on it.
Yeah, done and done.
And then a man named Snake has to sneak onto it.
And kill this little boy.
Snake and the giant peach.
And each of the bugs, I guess, are bosses.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's a Metal Gear Solid game.
And the little boy is defeated by Foxtie.
There you go. All
right, so he tells his grandmother / mother that he plans to go far beyond the village to the Oni Island, where he will conquer the Oni and bring back all the treasure that they've stolen.
Sounds like he's going to need a boat.
Sure does.
He is leaving one place and going to a different island.
If this kid flies, I'm going to lose my mind.
Or jumps real good.
Or rides a bird.
If he rides a bird, he better dive it into the ocean at least.
Or bridge.
No.
Bridges happen.
No, come on. It's myth times. Nobody's building anything. They're just wishing for kids in fruit. They don't have time for industry.
It's all just wishes and eating.
They're wantonly using magic.
All right, so I'm going to conquer the Oni and bring back the treasure that they've stolen. You know this. You know the one.
Who does this help?
Yeah.
People that, I guess, had their treasure stolen.
Does he keep the treasure? Because that doesn't help.
I mean, Oni are basically demons, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, getting rid of them is probably good.
They're
part of the ecosystem.
I mean, yeah, this is what
causes rid of mosquitoes.
This is what causes the ecological balance to tip in favor of humans so that we overpopulate the world And become a pest species like deer without coyotes.
Yeah, we really sealed the fate of this planet when we rid it of Onis.
That's why we're in this conundrum.
Back in myth times.
Humans needed a natural predator to keep their populations in check.
It's true.
So yeah, Momotaro is the cat that was let loose on the island and made an entire bird species extinct. So, gonna bring back the treasure they've stolen. Please make me some dumplings. It's a long journey. So Oni are horrible ogres, huge as pine trees, with horns like demons and tusks like elephants.
Yeah.
Their bodies are red and blue and green and sometimes as black as their deeds. Ages ago, they lay waste to this countryside, killing everyone in their path and stealing priceless treasures from just wherever they found them.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it's a good Tyler party. Tyler's the leader of the Oni on his crime parties. So the old woman begs him not to go, but he says, nah, it's gonna be fine. So she makes the dumplings like he asked, and the woodcutter gives him a new pair of trousers, a sharp sword, and a little flag on which was written, Japan's number one Momotaro.
Yes!
It's an anime now.
Yes! Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Papa Folklore. For this gift.
It's like a mug that says number one dad on it. Or number one son.
Or number one boss. You know that one's a lie.
It seems like a very Toriyama kind of prop.
Just something that says a character's name on it?
It's like when Krillin wears a hat with his own name on it.
Man, he would. What a useless lump. I hate him.
And then what happened?
All right. They bade each other farewell.
And then what happened?
So, Momotaro leaves the village in his new trousers with a sword by his side, waving his flag in the air.
I know that he is supposed to be like a
peach man.
Well, like, he is a man now, and probably of sturdy stock, we are to presume.
Presumably.
Like, he is a heroic figure.
Not yet, but...
Well, he's trying to be.
Working on
it. I can't help but picture him as being peach-shaped.
I kind of see him at this point, you know, over the garden wall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember Wart's name. What's his
Greg.
Brother? Gray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg.
Like the ogre.
Yeah. I imagine him basically as Greg, but instead of a tea kettle hat, he's got the flag.
Got a little flag, yeah.
But the same kind of
like...
He's
got a cool sword now.
Poofy trousers, round body.
Ready to go.
Same sort of march that Greg does.
We are on the same page.
Yeah. And then, like, a bag of dumplings.
Yep. Time to go kill some Oni.
So his heart gets lighter and his step gets quicker as he thought of the adventures ahead of him. He walked down a deserted road and heard some rustling in the bushes, and a great dog jumped out.
Hmm.
Well, I am Lord Dog.
Yep.
Yeah.
He growled. Who trespasses on my land? Japan's number one Momotaro, replied the Peach Boy.
Read the sign.
The dog...
Check the brand.
The dog bowed low.
I see.
And says, Ah, Momotaro, we have heard of you. Please accept my humble services as your retainer.
Sure thing, Lord Dog.
King of Dog. Certainly, says Momotaro.
I'm going to call you Sniper Wolf.
Giving him a dumpling. Now eat this and you will have the strength of 10 men. So,
how many dumplings does he have?
Just an unspecified amount of dumplings that apparently have magical Popeye powers.
Yeah, I thought these were a limited supply kind of thing, but if he's just going to hand them out to his fucking animal A team, which is, I presume, what's about to happen.
You've sniffed the wind correctly, sir.
It sure seems like it, yeah.
So Momotaro and Lord Dog walked on a bit further, and then they heard chattering in the trees.
Yep.
And a slender monkey swings down and shrieks, I am Lord Monkey! Who trespasses?
Is that different from Monkey King?
Yes. This is Lord Monkey.
Who is a demon from heaven. And made of stone.
And skin.
Yeah, no, this is a regular monkey who has declared himself a lord.
Hmm.
So the same exchange happens,
uh-huh.
as expected. The three of them walk until late afternoon until they hear a great whirring and a splendid pheasant flew down and sings, "I am Lord Pheasant, who trespasses?" And the same thing happens. So Momotaro and the Animal A-Team travel until they reach the sea where they find a small
Lord
boat.
Lord Fish.
They find a what?
A small boat.
They find a what?
They find a small boat. I'm sure that sound is great.
Yeah.
And I guess they steal it. Because, like, it's not theirs. Someone left it there probably to like, use it.
Yeah, they're probably dead, though. I wouldn't worry about it.
So they take it and they row across the deep waters and they reach the gates of the Oni Castle at nightfall.
Good time to do it. Stealth mish.
This is kind of a snake in the giant peach situation.
I mean, but he is the peach in this case. What's the Metal Gear?
Apparently it's an Oni castle now.
Okay.
The castle was gloomy and gray, and a great black cloud hung over it like a bad omen. And from inside, there were sounds of a wild feast, and for a moment, Momotaro and the Animal A-Team were afraid. But by that time, they had eaten all the dumplings, and so they had the strength of thousands of men.
Whoa, they're ready to go then.
Yeah, this is a powerful team.
They've been grinding along the way.
They've been doing a lot of punches and null G, eating senso beans or whatever that is. I'm trying to connect to you on your level.
It's appreciated.
That's the wrong voice. That's the monkey voice. Now, declared Momotaro, it's time to strike.
Yes, it is.
The monkey climbed to the top of the wall. The pheasant flew to the gatepost. The dog hid behind the gate. And Momotaro banged loudly at the gate.
They have to snap at least one neck.
Out came an ugly red Oni in a terrible temper at being disturbed from his rad party inside. And he asks who the silly little insect making so much more noise thinks he is. Japan's number one Momotaro come to conquer you.
Read the flag.
It's like he's not even holding a special flag that his dad made him.
I know. Why?
Nobody's gonna fucking read it.
I mean, this is true. If you ever work an event, you know that no one ever reads. You have signs with prices or information all around.
Or anything, ever.
Yeah, no one's gonna read it. You're just gonna get the questions. So
it's honestly amazing how actively people try not to read things.
It's true.
Quite frankly. Like, it's I find myself accidentally reading things a lot. I'm honestly surprised how often people go out of their way not to read a thing.
All right. So the Oni laughed horribly, looking like a bad dream. And he lumbers back to tell the others in the castle the good joke that he just heard at the gate. So hordes of Oni come swarming out to see the funny human bug who thought it could conquer them. But as they came through the gates, the pheasant flew down and pecked out all of their eyes.
Just all at once, huh?
Just like, I mean, he has the strength of thousands of men, which I guess in pheasant terms means you fly real fast.
Yeah, I was going to say, does he have the speed of those men as well?
I mean, it's all the strength in his wings, so yeah, he can now break the sound barrier.
Just seems easy. Like, it seems easy.
Yeah. Well, they bought all those, like, microtransaction double XP dumplings beforehand.
Yeah, pay to play. So the monkey swung by his tail and twisted their necks.
Just thank you, monkey. You have my back.
It's true.
I'm glad somebody has my back.
It really is like Metal Gear Solid meets Rainbow Six or something.
The dog leapt upon them and knocked them down, and then Momotaro finished them off with his sword. So this was their like four-way punch. When 3,000 Oni had been killed in this manner, the rest drew back and bowed in surrender.
That's a cool party.
with 3,000 plus Oni in attendance.
Yeah.
Just doing whatever Japanese demons do.
Partying.
Just, yeah. One of them's a DJ. They're all getting crunk.
They're in a giant castle being slaughtered now.
Oh, mighty Momotaro, wept the leader of the Oni. Please forgive us. We see now we're no match for you. I shall forgive you, replied Momotaro, if you promise to give back all the treasure and promise not to be evil.
Boy, I have... God, okay.
You got something to say there, Gordy?
It's just... It just is the voice of Son Goku. This is Berserk as written and illustrated by Akira Toriyama.
That's a mental image.
Yeah. Think about that.
So the Oni promised and they unlocked the treasure house for him. Momotaro, Lord Dodd, Lord Monkey, and Lord Pheasant wheeled the treasure back in a huge cart and returned it to its rightful owners, which they were able to figure out somehow.
They have name tags on every gold coin.
Yeah, the Oni are really meticulous about their record keeping, and they like to, they like had scrapbooks with memories of all the conquering there. It's like, oh, the time we trampled, like, a Sioux.
It's the only thing that they like more than partying.
Is
meticulous bookkeeping.
Yeah. Meticulous scrapbook.
I mean, yes. Thank goodness that they did.
Yeah, it made everyone's lives easier after the fact.
This would be a lot harder, and they would have had to deal with any challenge at all in the story. So the emperor, of course, hears of the noble deeds of Momotaro and his animal A-team, and rewards them richly and declares a day of thanksgiving that the Oni are gone. So it's a cool holiday for everybody, I guess.
No more Oni Day.
That'd be a good holiday. Kind of want to celebrate No More Oni Day. The day our apex predators are wiped from the planet.
By a peach man.
And this animal 18.
With a dull sword by the end of the night.
Yeah, no shit. Momotaro returned to the woodcutter and his wife and brought along the animal 18 with him. So they're as one now.
Oh, they're a crew.
I guess Lord Dog, Lord Monkey, and Lord Pheasant don't have any, like, actual lording responsibilities to do.
They do.
These are just, like, self-declarative names.
Listen, the royalty playpen extends to animal lords as well. And they wandered away.
So they're just lost now.
Like, why else would they just be wandering around looking for this kid?
So they lived together in comfort and happiness for many years, and Japan was never troubled by the Oni again. The end.
Hell yeah. So this is the first Animal A-Team.
In our timeline?
Yes.
Maybe.
Possible?
I mean, it depends on how long the Oni are around, because we have, like, ogres and things in the Western tales pretty late into the story.
Yeah. They fled Japan.
So they could be evil somewhere else.
Yeah.
They're not the same, though.
Oni is its own special sauce.
Right. Like, the ogres and things in Western tales are not described as looking the same at all as the Oni.
But we can pretend.
And we can pretend. We can
pretend anything we want.
They could be relatives of the Oni. Like, they could have all come from the same bloodline, but then, you know, divergent paths, the whole, like, Galapagos thing.
Right.
Science.
The Galapagos thing?
Galapagos demons.
You mean Darwin? Turtles?
Yeah. Well, like, specifically the... like,
marrying your cousin.
Isolated populations developing separate traits from other isolated populations.
Darwin married his cousin.
And that's why we have flippers this day.
And yet people think he's so smart.
This has been the best science podcast. And for another go...
That's not a discovery. It's just an observation.
Do you get awards for that?
Yeah. Just looking at shit?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really? Science awards?
Yeah.
I mean, best science...
That's all science is.
Best science podcast is a really open term. We could just discuss actual other people's science and not have to do any science on our own.
That's true. I feel like most of the science podcasts out there are probably just talking about other people's science.
But we do take it that extra level by doing our own science.
Can we be the best science fiance podcast?
Science fiance?
Yeah.
Is that like science defiance?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you have another meaning in mind?
Well, because it's also sci-fi.
Yeah.
But a new interpretation.
Now, do you think that the phi stands for fines?
It does. It doesn't stand for fiction. It would be sci-fi.
Yeah, be sci-fi.
Sci-fi.
Okay. Okay, that is a strong argument
in favor
of science-fiance. You're right.
And the channel is now SIFI, short for syphilis.
We don't talk about them.
Which is the equivalent to a lot of their original content.
Like, they aren't science or fiance or fiction anymore.
It's just whatever.
Yeah, they are the venereal disease of original content.
Maybe we should just start a separate original podcast that is just the best science podcast. That's all science.
Just made up science.
All the time.
Hey, remember when we were going to do a podcast where we raised a fictional child?
Yes.
Does that count as science?
I mean, child psychology is a science, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a softer one, but yeah.
Softer science. How do you even get that?
I mean, you just don't have the hard edges of calculus.
Nobody's studied the physical properties of the sciences. a great area of science to break into.
Solid science, liquid science, gas science.
The three kinds of sciences.
Sociology is a gas science.
You forgot weird science.
Psychology is a liquid science.
What's a weird science?
You got, the rest.
You got non-Newtonian science.
Is that just art?
Yeah.
That's the humanities?
Yeah. Yeah, so solid science is like the chemistry, physics, all the math ones.
Which is the science that is inventing women? Because that's weird science.
That's... What?
Weird science is the one where they invent a woman.
Uh-huh.
From science.
Mm-hmm.
What is the real world equivalent? That's my question.
That's kind of my question too. What the hell? Are you referencing a thing or is
this?
Yeah,
it's called Weird Science.
The TV show?
A movie.
Okay.
Maybe the TV show is based on it. I've not watched it.
I don't know.
There is a movie called Weird Science.
Okay.
They invent a woman from science.
Okay, I think that...
It's two horn boys who want a woman, so they use science to do it.
I think that's dark matter science.
Is that what dark matter is?
You shouldn't see it.
Okay. What are we doing to this story?
It's the original Animal A-Team. This is the one that all other Animal A-Teams strive to be like. This is the one that their parents told them about when they decided to go to Animal A-Team school.
They are brutally efficient.
Yeah.
They are indeed. I mean, they did eat apparently magic dumplings.
Well, they leave that part out of the story.
They leave that part out of this story.
Yeah.
His mom just makes him dumplings.
At least enough for them all to be... The power of 1,000 men.
Like, how did he Popeye those dumplings? Is that peach magic or is
special
that mom
dumplings.
Magic?
Is it additive or is it multiplicative, the effect?
We're getting into hard science now.
Yeah.
Ooh, math.
Because that's less
some
dumplings.
Solid science.
Like, if each is the strength of 10 men and you have to add all of those up to 1,000.
It's a lot.
That is a lot. But
a
if
lot.
It, each one is a multiplier, that's
three.
Considerably less.
Pound three dumplings. I can do that anytime. This is laced with something, right?
I mean, how many dumplings can you eat?
Me?
Yeah.
A lot?
Yeah.
Probably three.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of dumplings as much.
I don't know if we can be friends.
How laced with PCP are they? Because I think that's what's happening.
Momotaro might just be a good drug boy.
What does Momotaro mean? Is it Peach?
Momo is Peach. Taro might be the son of, because that's what the story told me it was.
Are you sure it doesn't translate to son of drug mule?
I mean, I know Momo is Peach.
Is it two words?
Momo-kan. No, it's Momotaro one word. Momo-kan.
That's Peach, the one they do here.
Peach-kan, yeah. Atlanta, because Peach.
Yeah.
And then Momo was named for Peach in the Avatar The Last Airbender series. I fucking know that. The word is Peach. It is not drug. It is Peach.
Okay. Taro is a name. Momo is Peach. So the name just means Peach Boy.
All right. There you go.
Big Rock.
Yes.
Big Rock.
What is a rock? Let's do some more science.
Is that what we're doing?
What is a rock?
Yeah, what constitutes a rock?
A solid piece of earth.
Could it be a precious material?
It could be.
Yeah, you have gem rocks.
Like a very big rock of platinum.
Sure. Counts.
It's like, is silver a rock?
Why not?
A really big...
You get hit in the head with either one, it's going to feel the same. Yeah, it's a rock.
A really big you close unobtainium. Your
eyes and you touch it. Okay.
Yes.
Just give that to the Oni.
A bunch of platinum?
Yeah. A big rock of it.
Oh, you think you just bribe them?
Then they won't need treasure anymore.
Is what you're saying. Like, here you go.
Well, I mean, they're just putting in a house. They don't need treasure.
We'll put that in there instead, and then they don't have room for treasure. Because it is a big rock.
Well, then they'll just get a storage unit.
You think that would satisfy them?
And they
just
so.
Say, like, oh, we filled it up. We're good.
Especially if it's a really, really big one. Because then it's cool looking.
Yeah.
And they can show it off.
I mean,
instead
maybe,
of, like, individual coins.
I mean, maybe it is so stunning that they know any treasure they find would pale in comparison and there's no point in searching.
Right.
Because they already have this very big platinum rock.
Exactly.
Which is a rock and not a metal.
Right.
All right, fine. Now back to the story as it is.
Sure.
We need to explain Magic Peaches. PCPs.
No, we don't.
Not Magic Peaches. Magic Dumplings. PCP is as good an explanation as any, though.
Mother's love.
Mother's love.
It's myth time.
Which
magic
is
prevalent.
Supercharged, just dumpling.
If a mom likes you enough, you can get magic from her.
From a story structure point, we
how's
need to-
the umami in there?
It's very good.
In the dumpling.
It's very
is it just the umami?
I mean, it's very. They ate a lot of dumplings.
Yeah.
It's scrumptious.
They just felt like they had that strength. They were compelled to do amazing things.
It's a scrummy umami.
Off the strength of the umaminess
mm-hmm.
of the dumplings. Couldn't tell you what umami tastes like.
We have watched a decent amount of Food Wars in this the Shokugeki no Soma in this apartment.
We just know that it's important.
We know that umami is important, and we know that if food is good enough, you will be very muscular and very naked and very screaming.
I think that's what happened.
Yes. So they did a shokugeki with these dumplings.
Really, they didn't want to let the dumplings down.
Right. They had to build their strength up to match the power of these delicious dumplings. I think story structure-wise, we just need to inject a little bit more challenge into here. Because there's not really conflict.
Does there have to be?
I mean, there's not really.
There's surface level conflict in the strangling of 3,000 Oni, but there's no internal struggle.
Usually the way these stories go is like somebody gets themselves into a bad situation.
Right.
And then they go out and they find animal help. Like, oh, the king wants you to do this impossible task.
Right.
And you go and you find animals or something.
Yeah, you don't just carry a flag around and people are like, well, I guess we've heard of you.
I have temptation to add to the story. After the Onis are defeated, painstakingly.
Mm-hmm. Surgically.
Sorted to death.
Yes.
Like some of them bludgeoned because it is just a very dull sword at this point.
Yes.
After 3,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
They go to the treasure room to collect the treasure into a wheelbarrow, apparently.
Right, but a big one.
A very big one.
An Oni-sized wheelbarrow.
And Momotaro steps forward and his eyes begin to glint at all of the treasure. And Lord Dog is taken aback. Oh no, avarice. A truly human problem.
Not for dogs.
Not for dogs or monkeys. This
or
is
the
a
other
human
one.
Only.
That's a lie. Dogs are maybe the most avaricious animal. Dogs are like characterized by being an endless well of wanting of everything.
But he looks at the treasure and he begins to think about all the things that he could do with it and his amazing life that he could build. And then he shakes his head and he says, "I'm Momo fucking Taro. I'm going to give this treasure back."
I mean, yeah, that's a good, like, inject it last minute, fifth grade writing class sort of solution.
Well, what do you want?
The only way.
We got to check Oslo to gun that shit. Like, we got to see hints of his avarice in the beginning.
He was born from a golden peach.
It's baked into his peachy DNA. He needs
gold
it.
Is his weakness.
Well, like for a good the solid story structure, you need a character who's got a clear like hole in their personality, life, whatever, that somehow through this adventure, which parallels their own personal internal struggle with an external struggle, helps them understand and fix that that problem within them. Mm-hmm. So the main character is the one who changes the most from beginning to end. In this case, it's the Oni, because they went from alive to dead and no one else changes in the story even a little bit.
Can we just play Pink Floyd and the audience will get it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a metaphor.
Yeah. I do think that that works. I think there's a couple Floyd tracks you can play at the end of any movie, and it just
injects meaning.
Yeah. Shine On You Crazy Diamond starts to play. What doesn't the story mean then? He has to kill the King Oni by pushing him off the castle with the gold chest, sacrificing them both. He has to give up the gold to kill the last Oni.
And when he gets to King Oni, King Oni has his face.
Yeah, that's good. Because it's like he's defeating himself, like in Star Wars. And then they can just like go into the water and get the gold back, like later.
Yeah, they make a fish friend.
And King Oni is complaining the whole time about how Momotaro was born with the best genes.
What? What is this from?
Never mind.
The best genes?
Yeah. It's just a very climactic moment at Shadow Moses.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, gotcha. What if they're brothers? Momotaro and the Oni.
They both came from heaven.
They both came from heaven.
That's true. We don't have a lot of, like, ideas about Momotaro's origin. So what if, like, Onis are hatched from eggs that just resemble peaches a lot? And he got floated down the river.
What? So he is an Oni?
Yeah, but he was raised human, so he, like, grew up human. He doesn't grow the horns or the tusks or anything.
He didn't eat Oni food.
He's a peach-colored Oni, so he's able to pass as a human.
Right.
A rare...
Yeah, a very rare peach Oni.
What do you call it? A mutation.
Right.
It saved his life. Think about that.
Like, normally they're grown from, like, these gross-looking fruits with, like, unnatural tones.
Yeah, you know, not something awesome like a butt-shaped fruit.
I mean, that's still kind of Oni-ish, but the colors are nice. Yeah. And it looks appealing. And the woodcutter and his wife are old. Their vision's probably not great. Myth times, not a lot of eye doctors.
Can Onis, like, just slough out of yucky banana peels on an island somewhere? Like, pre-blackened bananas.
That's how they're born.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, banana falls off a tree, gets too brown and gross.
Like, and then, like, the peel just sort of shucks off, and then out comes a little tiny Oni.
That's what happens when you don't make banana bread.
Onis.
You get those bananas get old and yucky. You don't make banana bread or no bake cookies with them. You get Onis in your house.
So use up your bananas, everybody.
That's the real moral of the story.
If we are not careful, the Onis will spread once more, and we will have an apex predator again.
Is that a satisfactory challenge? That he is an Oni?
Yeah, he has to discover that. And
he,
like,
has to defeat his...
Because he has unnatural knowledge of, like, where the Onis are and what they've been
their
doing.
Their exact location what they're doing.
So that's neat and set up. And he's got whatever Oni power to make dumplings great. I mean, Onis seem to interact with dumplings a lot. We had laughing dumpling woman from the one about a bus, and that dumpling just went rolling of its own accord into Oni land.
It was called back to Oni town.
Yeah.
And then when he has his moment of temptation, he's fighting his Oni nature, and he overcomes it.
There you go.
Because it is treasure.
It's treasure, and he gives it up.
The happy laughing dumpling woman is, like, his daughter.
Daughter?
Is she an Oni?
She's part Oni, which is why, like,
she's demi-Oni.
Yeah, which is why she makes accidentally magical dumplings that fall through a hole into hell in her floor.
Whoops.
Because he had that hole to protect, like, to... He built a house on top of the entrance to where he banished the Onis after this battle so that he could, like, monitor, like, make sure they didn't come or go.
Yeah, he put wood planks over the blades of chaos.
Right. And he had a daughter, and she was raised with the same kind of cheerful, happy-go-lucky attitude that he's had throughout this whole quest, with his happy little flag and his new trousers and his teapot hat. And yeah, when she grew up and grew old, like, she made dumplings just like he showed her, with a little bit of Oni magic in them. And one of them had just a little bit too much and was called back home.
Listeners, if you go back to listen to the one about a bus, this one that we are describing, you'll notice that we didn't mention that there was a dusty, faded flag in the background that said Japan's number one Momotaro on it, but it was there.
She placed it above her mantle. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a memento of her father.
There's a scene where she opens up the little wooden box that she keeps it in, and she looks at it fondly.
And giggles.
And then goes and makes dumplings, and the story begins.
It's easy to miss, because it's while, like, the credits at the beginning are rolling.
Yeah, it's something that you only catch on your second watch through.
And we also didn't understand it, so we just didn't mention it.
Yeah, it seemed like a whole hotbed of nonsense, and I do just skip those. So, I think that solves it.
Sure.
Neatly ties it back into our overarching tale. Congratulations on your successful boat watch, Gordy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tally, for suggesting this tale.
Thank you, Tally.
Thank you, Tally. Thank you to everybody who has been tweeting about the show. You can do that using the hashtag WTFolklore. Word of mouth is usually how we grow. That's the best way. You can also just share the show with somebody or leave us a review and a rating on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. A couple people using the hashtag, Mercy from the Discord, at Sarah Lisa, also using the hashtag, also using the hashtag Grow the Wimbus, which, a lot of discussion over where exactly the Wimbus ends and how big it should be.
Where the Wimbus Ends was my favorite book as a child.
it's a good one. Another way you can support the show, we do have merch on our website, WTFolklorePodcast.com. You can grab yourself a Project Birdfall or Church of the Knife shirt and confuse the people around you and then explain it with the link to our show. So thank you for everyone who has been tweeting and sharing. Thank you also, Dave, for supporting.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you to all of our patrons for keeping us going.
Thank you, all patrons.
And to our top tier patrons, Sarah, Maya, Robert, Grace, Daughter Wimbus, Jen, Monkey Criminal, Marzi Dotes, Lily, My Name is Carmen and I Also Have a Nice Butt, The Day Dude, Dominic, Liz, Pyrus, Heather, Jeremiah, Jenna, Tally, Justin, Haley, The Snoot Drooped, A Tim by Any Other Name Would Smell as Sweet. No, that's bad, abort. Thank you, top tier patrons.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Who is this new water bottle?
Who's the new water bottle?
Yeah.
That's not John.
Where'd John go?
He's bulked up.
Oh, this is John?
This is John Waterbottle.
Dang, John. Looking good.
It's hitting the gym.
Is the fiction that John is a person or an actual water bottle?
I have entirely forgotten. There has been a water bottle present for most episodes, and it has been the same one.
We did draw...
And I do always look at it when I say thank you, John Waterbottle.
And we did draw John as a water bottle a name tag that said John on it.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, John Waterbottle. Damn, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle. Not skipping leg day.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, the Neon. Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Japan's number one Momotaro.
Thank you, Japan's number one Momotaro.
Thank you, Dog Lord.
Thank you, Dog Lord. But none of the others.
Thank you, James and the Giant Metal Gear.
Thank you, James and the Giant Metal Gear.
That's all I got.
We're What the Folklore, that's how it works.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to WTFolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.